Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As we roll into the final weeks of the 2018 South Dakota legislative session, let's catch up with South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley. We spoke with Attorney General Jackley in January at the beginning of the session about some specific legislative priorities. He returns now for a recap of how the session has gone so far. Attorney General Jackley, welcome to the program.
Lori, thank you for having me today.
Let's start with the big news out of Pierre today, and that's that the governor has signed Senate Bill 64, which is your human trafficking bill, into law. Give us an update of that, please.
You know, certainly Senate Bill 64 was designed to address the human trafficking of minors. They're the law enforcement operations that we run with our ICAC, that's the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Those are really your deputy sheriffs, your police officers, your DCI agents, that run those sting operations to catch a predator. And what we were seeing in South Dakota as we ran those operations is the claim that the sentence would only be cut in half because there wasn't an actual victim, that there wasn't an actual carrying out of inappropriate sexual activities with a minor. And of course, I took the position as Attorney General that we don't want to wait until a child is actually hurt. I mean, we want to be proactive. And so the legislature overwhelmingly supported that concept, Republican and Democrats, and we were able to pass what I would say a good conservative solution. So now when we run our operations across the state and we catch those individuals that are trying to do harm to minors, they could face up to a 25-year sentence. And so I think it was an appropriate bill. It was very specific to what we were seeing in our operations, and I'm very thankful that the legislature agreed.
First of all, it's just the ICAC acronym, Internet Crimes Against Children. You'd sort of like that acronym not to exist, right? Like, when did that become a thing? As soon as the internet became a thing, I guess, right?
You know, certainly. I mean, we first saw this. I mean, actually, Sheriff Milstead gets credit for seeing this way back in the early 2000s, and then when I was United States Attorney was when it really became an issue. There was a movement where we as a state were under, actually, Minnesota. We felt strong enough that in protecting children that we can do it right here, and we started the ICAC, it's the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, and it's really made up of those sheriff deputies, police officers, and DCI agents across the state, and they're very effective in what they do, but you're exactly right. You know, one would hope that we wouldn't need such a unit, but given the technology and there's bad folks out there trying to harm our children, we've been running those proactive catch a predator operations, and they've been catching the bad guys.
Yeah, incredibly tough job, I'm sure, to work in that day after day. Let's talk about some of the other legislative priorities. And I remember at the beginning of the session, we really focused on the national meth epidemic and the opioid crisis. You mentioned challenges with what's coming through the southern border with Mexico. How has that legislation traveled throughout the State House, and what kind of conversations have you had with lawmakers as it's moved from one phase to the next?
It has received bipartisan support. In fact, just yesterday I was sitting in the gallery of the House when I saw Senate Bill 65, which dealt with those terrible situations when there's a death involved with drugs, passed unanimously. The entire meth package only had one no vote, and that was more of a procedural issue because we have to make a couple of minor changes in a conference committee. So we took the approach that we need to address the drug dealers and manufacturers head on in South Dakota. So we did really two things. We said, if you're going to deal methamphetamine here in our state, there's an enhanced penalty. And that, again, had overwhelming bipartisan support. And then we took it a next step further, that if you're dealing drugs, if you're manufacturing drugs, you're going to face a mandatory one-year penitentiary sentence, and you'll have to serve that unless there's no violence involved, and unless you tell us and tell law enforcement where the drugs came from. And it's a concept that I saw work as United States Attorney here in South Dakota. It has support from the governor, and again, Republicans and Democrats overwhelmingly supported that concept. And so when the governor signs it in the next couple of days, we will have law enforcement with more tools beginning July 1 to address the meth epidemic that's going nationwide, and I think we should see some good results.
You mentioned when you were here in January about the important distinction behind the one-year sentence in the penitentiary in a state facility versus a county jail. Elaborate on that a little bit for those who didn't hear that conversation. Why is that important?
It's important for a couple of reasons. One is there has been some legislation that have shifted some resource issues over to the county. And we see it across our state. Our county jails are full, and they're full of addiction situations. And what I wanted to do is propose a conservative solution to maybe shift that back to the state so that we have state resources at play. The other hope is, as we continue to move forward on the treatment side, that when you're looking at the state facilities, that we're going to be able to hopefully offer treatment components. And so it was really two concepts at work there. One focused on treatment, and the other focused on shifting the resources back to the state. And I think it's important as we continue on. I heard this from state senators and state representatives that we are supporting you strongly on your enforcement tactic, but we're asking you, both in your candidacy for governor and as attorney general, to also be proactive on the treatment side and to be proactive on the prevention side. And, of course, we have the attorney general's No Meth Ever. You can go to nomethever.com. to learn more about it, and then Project Stand Up also, which is really the law enforcement partnership with the education and healthcare community. When it comes to the treatment side, and we've heard a little bit about it this legislative session because of the desire to put more resources at that, we are in the middle of a multi-state attorney general investigation on the drug manufacturers. I can't talk too much about it yet, but we are starting to see some significant movement on that multi-state investigation, along with several attorney generals breaking out and filing separate lawsuits. And I think that's where the treatment conversation is going to go, especially with opioids, that as this evidence unfolds as to what manufacturers may have done on a national scale, I think that's our best opportunity here in South Dakota to get a necessary treatment component, whether it's at the state penitentiary, whether it's at a West River and an East River facility. We're addressing the dealers and the manufacturers, but we're not addressing the addiction side of the users, and we need to do that. And I think we need to do that through conversations about prevention and treatment and that multi-state investigation of the drug manufacturers and what's gone on with opioids, I think is a good opportunity for the state of South Dakota.
So when you say drug manufacturers, you mean the pharmaceutical companies?
Yes.
In this case,
It's something that some attorney generals have spoken very loudly about. In Ohio, Attorney General DeWine, who's also running for governor of Ohio, has filed a separate lawsuit. He's openly talked about what he's found in his investigation. And I would say that it's been pretty consistent with what I've looked at. So over the next 30 days, and I talked to the legislature about this, I need to make a decision as South Dakota's attorney general. Do we stick with the multi-state, or do we move forward on a separate lawsuit, or do we take no action? And I'll be making that determination the next probably 30 days. But I again go back to everything I heard from members of the legislature was we've addressed the enforcement side strongly this session. It's now time for strong conservative leadership to look hard at prevention and treatment. And over the next 30 days, I think South Dakota is going to see that.
When you say conservative leadership and you said a conservative solution, you mean politically? I mean, is that...
I'd say yes. Conservative in the sense that it's action to get it done. And if you look at the financial side of it, I mean, obviously, we have to balance budgets here in South Dakota. It's part of our Constitution. It's very important. We have about a $4.615 billion budget. The Attorney General has about a $26.5 million budget. The legislation that I brought dealing with meth, dealing with the addiction side of it, kept us within the budget. Obviously, the conversation that's going on with respect to treatment is going to affect that budget, and we need to find conservative solutions to be able to accomplish it because it's the right thing to do, but to also maintain it within that $4.615 billion budget.
Sure. Any chance that some of those drug manufacturers could end up contributing somehow to treatment programs? Is that in the realm of political possibility?
Absolutely.
Or legal possibility, I guess.
Absolutely. And I say that because we've seen it in the tobacco litigation. Our state gains somewhere between 24 and $27 million a year in relation to tobacco. We brought in about $440 million through the Tobacco Education Fund. That concept came about through a multi-state litigation. And so it's that same concept here as we've seen in a couple of states such as New York, that's already happening. And so, again, within the next 30 days, you will see movement in that direction. And we've done that already with, like, Janssen Pharmaceuticals. When I was able to obtain that settlement, we brought back a couple million dollars that went to mental illness. Mm-hmm. It seems that the drug companies, as we begin these conversations, is willing to step up, particularly in areas where we look at going specifically to their involvement with respect to a particular conduct. That's where treatment comes in so importantly. They are less interested in a settlement or litigation that brings dollars into a general fund where there are no limits to it. They seem much more interested in having that conversation about, okay, this is the conduct that you're questioning. So this is the conduct that we need to look at addressing. And we do that through either prevention efforts on the education side or treatment efforts. And we've been seeing that happening in a couple of states right now. And I think, again, South Dakota in the next 30 days is ready for our attorney general to make a determination of what we are going to do with respect to the drug manufacturers. And again, I've been a strong voice in saying, if, as we look at moving forward, that needs to be part of the solution on the treatment and prevention side.
What goes into that decision about what happens next coming out of the Attorney General's office in the next 30 days as far as how we as a state move forward? What do you have to weigh and who do you have to listen to?
I'm listening to my colleague attorney generals. You know, as a former chairman of the nation's attorney generals, I think I have every AG's cell phone number. I have been on the cell phone with several of my colleagues talking about which approach we should do, talking about the multi-state, talking about the manufacturers versus the distributors and how we want to handle that. And so I look to guidance and advice from both the attorney general community as well as my internal staff. I've had several opportunities to meet with the head of our consumer litigation division, the head of our civil litigation division, talking about, you know, what a separate lawsuit might look like, talking about where the multi-state is going, the concept of treating manufacturers differently than distributors. And so those are all part of the conversations that have really been ongoing since well before June when I joined the multi-state. It's just kind of coming to a head. There have been about a dozen states that have now broke away from the multi-state to bring their own litigation. Part of it is a jurisdiction question, whether you want to be in state court, whether you want to be in federal court. So those are all the things that go into play. I mean, what I really need to look at as Attorney General is the conduct at issue, what the evidence is as we've uncovered it through the multi-state and some of the other separate litigation pieces, and what would work best for our state, including making sure that as we move forward that we're focused on any outcome to help with prevention and treatment and not to go to other areas.
I'm hoping I can change the subject a little bit and ask you something that you don't know I'm going to ask you, but we've been having these, something you said made me think of this, we've been having on this show all these conversations about mass shootings, and I know you're a strong Second Amendment supporter. When you talk about going after drug companies, you know, for something that they've manufactured that ends up, you know, causing an addiction or causing a death. Explain. Some people have asked about going after gun manufacturers as, you know, for the way that they market and sell and manufacture weapons. What's your take on that? There's a distinction to you, and what would that be?
There's a big distinction, and that is as we look at the conduct that is occurring with respect to opioids and the drug manufacturers, and we look at the scheme that has occurred with respect to distribution of those drugs, with respect to the conduct and the mislabeling, I think that's wholly different. And so if you go dig deep into what drug companies were doing and saying in their marketing strategy, it's much more similar to what we saw with tobacco companies. And that's how I separate the difference. I mean, obviously, I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment as Attorney General, and frankly, as a citizen here in South Dakota, I've got a record on that. We have not seen any that of that type of conduct with respect to drug manufacturer, with respect to gun manufacturers. And I think that's what makes it different. When you look deep into what the different companies on the drug side were saying and doing, it's vastly different, and I think that's why it should be treated differently.
I appreciate you going there with me. Let's go back and finish with this, and that's President Donald Trump's first opioid summit at the White House. When you see that and sort of the president really getting behind things and really, you know, saying, I'm paying attention to this, people coming together and having those conversations, what gives you hope from that March 1st summit and from some legislation that we see in Congress that we could move the needle on this and solve some of these problems in our own state?
Well, you know, certainly President Trump has a very strong voice, and I was very pleased to see that he was using that voice and that effort to, number one, invite in and listen to attorney generals. I had an opportunity to meet with them over a year ago and have that conversation with respect to both meth and opioids. When he invited in, I know one of his trusted advisors is Attorney General Pam Bondi, the Florida Attorney General. We were fortunate here in South Dakota to have General Bondi come to our law enforcement charity feed in Sioux Falls. And I think it's important that the president is doing that, and I think the attorney general community is supportive of that. We're doing everything we can as attorneys general, including even in the past, having entered into agreements with the Mexican government when really our own federal government was not addressing the border and was not addressing some of these issues. And so it's nice to have an administration that is working with Republican and Democrat attorney generals to address really head on both the meth epidemic as well as the opioid epidemic. My hope is the Department of Justice will join in and work with the attorneys general as we work forward on this multi-state investigation, as well as potential separate lawsuits that are now occurring across the nation. And I think that's a good thing. And I applaud President Trump for recognizing that opioids and meth are devastating communities. They're devastating families. And we need to address it with prevention, treatment, and strong enforcement. And unfortunately, the enforcement simply has not been at the border when it comes to meth, and the enforcement has not been there on the drug companies when it comes to marketing, labeling, and some of the practices that we have uncovered in some of the investigations that are occurring.
The Trump administration has been criticized for, celebrated for speaking out and then criticized for not doing enough, especially when it comes to sending money, putting money in the right places. Do you see that? Would you agree with that? Or do you think that they're following through with some of the ideas that they have and the dedication that they seem to have as an administration with tangible action?
Well, certainly on the meth side, to secure the border and to do some of the steps that he is proposing, I think, is action. We have not yet seen that action on the opioid front because, obviously, the emergency has been declared. They're in conversations and a summit on the direction to go forward. He's obviously taking input from the attorneys general community. And so we're yet to see what that action is. My hope is that it's a similar action that you're seeing from your attorneys general. You're seeing a multi-state investigation happening. You're seeing separate lawsuits happening. And so the attorney generals are a group of action, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat attorney general, really you're elected and expected to produce results. And so my hope is that when it comes to opioids, that the president will continue to listen to the nation's state attorneys general and will join with us and help us, particularly as we move forward and address really what I would call the manufacturer concern on opioids and how this has developed across our country.
South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley, we could keep you on for a long time, but you've been very generous with your time, so I'll say thank you and let you go about your day. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for letting me join you. You know, the only thing I got to do this afternoon is dig myself out. I don't know that I can get out of the office
right
now without a little bit of help. So we're certainly received a lot of snow and pure, like I know the rest of the state has, and thank you very much for having me on.